Well, we just started the book of Ephesians. We finished chapter 1, and we're going on now to chapter 2, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and you'll discover why. But I want you to think about, are you ready if the Lord comes back? Are you ready for Him if Jesus were to return in the near future? Are you prepared? Are you ready for that to happen? I want to talk to you today about how easy it is for us, not for Jesus, but for us, and how we are to live that life, that new life that He has made possible for us. Jesus was the one who asked that initial question in Matthew 24:42. He said, "Therefore, be on the alert. You don't know what day your Lord is coming." I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 2. I want to take these three verses first of all. Says, "And you were dead in your offenses," Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. "You were dead in your offenses and sins in which you previously walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all previously lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest." I want to call attention to something that I believe Paul does in this first passage here. When he says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin." And then later, look at what it says in verse 3. "Among them, we too all previously lived in the lusts of our flesh." You know, it would be easy to feel like Paul is talking about himself, but in reality, later on, he talks about himself. He's all inclusive of everyone. And so I want us to talk about that. Life without Christ. That's the title of this section. Life without Christ. What did we do? Well, first of all, he says here, we walked according to the course of this world. That doesn't need any explanation, does it? We've all been there. We've all lived this kind of life. He talks about the fact that we were dead. You know what the Greek word for dead is in this passage? The word dead. Simple. He makes this so simple for us to comprehend and understand. He doesn't make it complicated. He says you were dead in your offenses and your sins. He makes the statement there, you walked according to the course of the world. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, some people probably are here today. I don't know. But there's probably at least one who is here today who says, "What in the world is that? What are you talking about?" Well, the reality is we live in a world. Paul later says this in the chapter that we're going to look at. Later in the book that we're going to look at. But he says there are powers and principalities. You and I look at life just as, "Hey man, I'm going through life." But there are people, There are principalities, there are powers, there's the influence of the evil one, as it talks about here. It says, we too all lived in the lusts of the flesh. The first thing we think of is sexual lust. But the reality is there's many different types of lusts. Maybe you've lusted over a car before. You've thought, man, if I could just have that. You've lusted over having a particular house or a particular job or having so much money in your bank account. Though those are just as realistic that we have to deal with. They're things that we can focus on that capture our attention more than God does. It's the things of the world. He says here, we too all lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh. We were children of wrath, and we were just like everybody else. We were living the way that they did, the way that they saw things. We were hearing one side, and we were thinking that that was right. But when we are without Christ, there is no other option. There is no other option without Christ. There's not, oh, I'm going to be a good person and maybe someday God will let me into heaven. There are no other options. Have you gotten it yet? There is nothing that you can depend on, me included, you or I can depend upon that is going to make it possible for us to go to heaven if we do not have Christ. So without Christ, we are a hopeless group of people. We have no possibility of entering into heaven. You know, have you heard somebody maybe when someone has died or when you're at a funeral and they say, man, I hope that person goes to heaven. Well, it's not a hope situation. It's not something where if you just have enough hope, you're going to get there. It's something that you have to prepare for, like Jesus was saying. You and I have to come to a place where we consider, is this right and I'm going to follow it, or do I want to do something else and suffer the consequences that are going to happen one day if I don't turn to Christ? You and I are slaves. I know that's probably a hard thing to take for Mr. or Mrs. Independent. But it is true. That is what Paul was saying. We were enslaved to what was true of us prior to Christ. And we might feel like living beyond that, or we might feel like, well, that's not going to be true of me. But all of us without Christ are slaves to our own flesh, slaves to the world, slaves to what the world thinks we need to be doing or what we think needs to happen. Aren't you glad today, if you are here today, and you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you're not a slave. You know, we talk about freedom and the importance of freedom. There is no freedom without Christ. Everybody else, everyone is a slave to themselves, a slave to somebody else, a slave to what's going on around them. They can't live free from sin because they don't have the one who makes that possible for them to have that freedom today. I want to ask you a real simple question. Are you without Christ today? I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Think about it yourself. Are you at a place in your life right now where you are without Christ? That's a dangerous place to be. You know, like Jesus said in the passage in Matthew, he said, you don't know the day or hour that your Lord will come. But you can prepare for that day. You can prepare for that hour. And that's what Paul is saying here when he makes a distinction between those who are without Christ and, in, as we're going to look, those who are in Christ. Verse 4 starts out like this. You remember all that we have been through, all the struggles we face, and all the sin that we have. But God, that's how it starts out. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. You've been raised up with Christ. You've been seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, He might show the boundless riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. No one may say, hey, Lord, look at me. I've done these good things. I've given to your church. I've been kind to people. I've been willing to offer my life for someone else. All of that, as good as it may be, is not enough. We are constantly finding our place where we don't have enough. You ever been there? You ever felt that in your life? I don't have enough. I don't have what is needed. Well, we were all at that place until we met Christ. We talked about in chapter 1 how Jesus, in Jesus, we have been given all things. We're not just wandering around trying to get there. We have already arrived by the good work that God has done. Notice how Paul makes reference to all of these things. He says, first of all, being rich in mercy. Then he says, His great love with which He loved us. And then he talks about the fact that even though we were dead when Christ came to us. You know, a lot of times you hear people say, I've made up my mind, I'm going to come to Christ. Or you hear them say, hey, I think it's time for me to settle down, be a better person. That's not possible without Christ. It's only with Christ that is possible. You know, when you hear the fruit of the Spirit, you hear love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. You hear all of those things listed and you say with the person who said them to you, yeah, those are good things. I think I'm going to start practicing them. Well, you can't practice them without the Spirit of God indwelling you. They are the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of Donnie or the fruit of you. They're the fruit of the Spirit at work in our lives, giving us the opportunity to live in a way that pleases Him. So, he talks about we were rich in mercy. He had great love toward us. John 3:16, you've probably heard it so many times. You could quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would call upon Him shall be saved. Now, I don't know about you, but as I look at that verse, that is a simple request. Call upon the name of the Lord. The hard part is living that out. Living out that expression and desire in our life. He says here another thing, we have been made alive together with Christ. Now you remember in the first point, as he talked about in the very first part of the chapter, you were dead. But now we are alive in Christ. We are brought together as the family of God in a relationship with Christ so that we can experience all the blessings He has for us. Catch this one. He says, we are no longer a slave to sin and dead in our sins. We are raised up. Now, sometimes we feel like, man, this life would be so much easier if God would just take me home. I wouldn't have to deal with difficult people. I wouldn't have to deal with the struggles that I'm facing. I wouldn't have to deal with a health-related thing. He has already raised us up. And we are to live out of that raising us up. We are to be different. We're not just to be like everybody else. We are to be different because, not because of me, not because of you, but because Christ lives in us. That's what makes the difference. And we can live in a way that is pleasing to Him. Not only are we raised up, but we are seated in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you to think about something. We have talked a lot about the security of our faith, the confidence that we are saved. Do you think that if you are seated with Christ, you're still dealing with the issue of salvation? Or what has He said? You are seated with me as one I love and care about. As my fellow brother and sister, you are seated with me in heavenly places for God's purpose. That ought to give us assurance and confidence that it is through Him that we have that assurance and that confidence. Turn with me, if you will, just a few chapters back to Romans chapter 1. I've told you before how many times, or several times, how much I love Romans chapter 8. I want to just give you a picture here of what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8. So if I could do my job and get there, we'll be all right. He says, starting in verse 1, Romans 8, verse 1, says, therefore there is now no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You notice the word free there. You notice the other word, that there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. Verse 3, it says, for what the law could not do, weak as it was, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. That's like that, but God, a minute ago that we read in that passage of Scripture. This is similar to it. Paul is saying the same thing. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Then in verse 4, this purpose statement, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are in accord with the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are in accord with the Spirit, those he talks about in Ephesians, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. Now, if you take what we've talked about, who we were without Christ, we were hostile toward God. Oh, you say, well, I didn't cuss God out. I didn't tell him how bad a job he was doing. But we were hostile toward spiritual things without Christ. But when Christ came, those spiritual things that we were hostile toward have been changed. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Now, that's just not a small phrase. That is a big one. No one is able to experience everything that God has for them without Christ. They have to have a relationship with Him. You, if you are a believer in Christ, it goes on to say, you are no longer in the flesh. You are living in the Spirit, and you're making decisions based upon the Spirit's work in your life. And you're planning and you're doing things that you would normally do, but this time you are doing it with Christ leading the way, guiding you in what needs to be done. So how would you say God did on giving us new life in Christ? Do we have an excuse for not coming to Him and saying, Lord, raise me up? Do you think God would go this far to leave us? Brings us to our third point, and that is that now, in Christ, life has a new purpose. Notice these words here in this passage. For we are His workmanship, I'm in verse 10. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. For what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them, which is another way of saying so that we would live in them, so that we would allow His workmanship in our life to be reflected by the way that we live. We have been created in Christ Jesus, not so that we can be pushed off, but so that we can be brought near. So that we can experience the blessings that God has for us. We now have a purpose because God has planned beforehand that in Christ Jesus, this is going to be the way that we live. We live confident of Christ's presence in our life. Statement there that he makes, so that. That is, in essence, a purpose clause. So that we would walk in them, so that we could live a kind of life that is pleasing and honoring to him. So that when somebody spends some time with you, they will know what you believe. They will know that you are a follower of Christ. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Here's those two words again. So that the person of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. When you and I come to Christ, he is at work in our life and he prepares us to live our life out in such a way that people will see our good works and they will glorify God in heaven. You and I have been created for good works. But we're left with an important question. You and I need to ask ourselves if we are living for that purpose. Are we living to accomplish good works for God? Are we living just simply to please ourselves or to please others, make them happy? You know, when Jesus was crucified, there were two, what would be called, men in the flesh, sinners, that were crucified alongside of him. I'm pretty confident the thief on the cross was sure he was going to die that day. Do you wonder sometimes why he said to the Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom? Was there something that he was lacking? Did he feel like he was dead outside of Christ? I don't know what was going on in the guy's mind, but I know this much. He knew that eternity was too long to be wrong. He needed to get that settled before that time came. There's a story told about a famous actor who was a guest of honor at a social gathering. He was asked by an old preacher, will you recite the 23rd Psalm? And the actor took up the task. He said, I will if you will. And so he started on the 23rd Psalm. And he shared all six verses with the people that were gathered around. And it was so elegant and it was so much in place that at the end of it, there was a massive round of applause for him that lasted for quite a while. And then came the old man's turn. It was time for the old preacher to quote Psalm 23. He started with an old, worn-out voice and an imperfect diction. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And he continued on till he got to verse 6. He said, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To which the crowd was moved to tears as he had shared. One person asked the actor, he said, why was the crowd so responsive to the old man in the way and the actor said, he said, I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. Is that true of you today? When you look at your life, do you know who the shepherd is? When you say those words, are you saying the word mine because you're saying the Lord is my shepherd? You're trusting him with your life. Paul gave us a tremendous description of what it means to be without Christ. What it means to be with Christ, and how we are to live our life for his glory and for his honor. Let's pray together.